What summer festivals are on now?
Google helps you find the news that matters most to you. Whether you're looking for news from international publications or your local paper, learn how Google supports news in Canada at g.co/news in Canada.
You are listening to The Rush. This is hour three of The Rush. It is not Scott MacArthur and Rush Munair. It's Scott Reed and Deb Hutton, but we are more than happy to be here this afternoon. Scott's been here all this week, and I actually will be here all next week with the other Scott.
It's kind of bridging. You're just sort of, it's a beautiful, elegant transition.
It is sort of just work my way into next week when I'm here full time. As always happens at 4 o'clock, just after the 4 o'clock news every Friday, film critic and the host of the podcast Last Call with Richard Krause. Richard Krause joins us to rule on the pop culture stories taking center stage in the court of public opinion.
Order in the entertainment court. Let's get judgy.
Court is now in session.
All right, Richard Krause, what is our first case on today's docket?
Okay, so we're going to talk about a young actor named Sydney Sweeney. You probably know her from the television show Euphoria. She's been nominated for Emmys, and she's made a big splash on that show. Mike, can we hear clip one? This is what she sounds like on the show.
You guys can all judge me if you want, but I do not care. I have never, ever been happier.
That sounds like me, actually.
And that's one of her big scenes on the show, probably the one that got her nominated for an Emmy. Well, she did an interview recently with The Hollywood Reporter where she says, you know, they really don't pay actors like they used to. And then she went on to complain that she would not have the income to cover herself if she was to take a 6-month break. This is coming from an actor who made $25,000 per episode of the show for season one. And then when it moved into season two, she made $350,000 for the eight episode series, and she has an estimated net worth of $4 million. She goes on to say, I have to give 5% to my lawyer, 10% to my agents, 3% or something like that to my business manager. So my question to you to bandy around is, do you ever discuss the amount of money that you make with anyone? Is it gauche?
Yes, 100% gauche.
I'm small town Scottish Protestant. One, I don't discuss how much I make. Two, when I'm sitting somewhere and people start talking about how much they make, that is my signal for not going to like this person. I do not like that.
I too, Scott, small town Scottish Presbyterian. We figured this out a while ago.
We've already come. So you're going to find us well aligned on this issue, Richard.
Well, Sydney Sweeney says that she never spoke to her Euphoria co-stars about her salary. I just wish that she had kept that up and not discussed it with The Hollywood Reporter either. In a time when gas costs roughly the same amount as a spritz of Chanel No. 5, nobody wants to hear an actor who makes almost $44,000 per episode of television complain about being underpaid. While I agree that money is better than poverty, if only for financial reasons, I am all for women and I'm all for women standing up and being paid for what they're worth. It's not a crime to ask for more money, but that is a discussion to have behind closed doors and not in the press. And that is my verdict.
All right, Richard Krause, what's our next case?
Okay, we're going to talk about Netflix and a show called Bridgerton, which was a huge hit. Last year, it was one of the most watched television shows in the world. So it's based on a series of novels. Netflix and Shonda Rhimes, who's one of the biggest time Hollywood producers, buys the rights, pays a lot of money for the rights, turns it into a hit show. Meanwhile, on TikTok, two comedians and musicians start making little parodies of it. They're short, they're quick little songs, in and out. Now they have taken that idea and turned it into a full-on stage musical called The Unofficial Bridgerton Musical. It won a Grammy Award. The stage show is now playing in Washington, D.C., which coincidentally is where there's a big Bridgerton event sponsored by Netflix happening right now. So Netflix has said, no way. We gave you a break on the TikTok. We didn't love it. We asked you to stop. You didn't, but we didn't sue. Now we're going to sue for copyright infringement. So my question to you is it enough to stick the word unofficial in the title of The Unofficial Bridgerton Musical to sidestep copyright infringement?
No, it is not enough. It's a total imposition on Shonda Rhimes' IP, if you will, which is all the rage in the entertainment world today.
Intellectual property.
It absolutely is. Now, I will confess that I've never watched Bridgerton, and the fact that there's a TikTok musical, so to speak, doesn't encourage me even anymore. But I'm 100% I'm with the creator on this one.
Yeah, I got to say, I agree with Scott, too. I mean, if you have the little TikTok thing that they sort of let go, that's actually, I think, smart and good for the show itself. But once you get into not only a, quote, unofficial musical, but something where people are paying money to go see and it's coinciding with your actual event, I think that's a huge infringement. Judge, what's your verdict?
Okay, well, I say that fan fiction is one thing. Expressing your love for a movie, a TV show, or whatever by posting your own stories based on the characters online is a cool expression of how that work has affected you, and that is completely cool by me. Blatantly making a profit by ripping off work others originated and or own is thievery. It's like opening up your own smaller Starbucks inside a legit Starbucks and trying to sell Frappuccinos to use their popularity to sell drinks and make money. Besides, the human imagination is limitless. If you can write and produce a musical, why not make something original? And I know why. I'm answering my own question. Because Netflix and the original author of Bridgerton did all the work for you first. They created the intellectual property and the audience. And now the unofficial musical is a ripoff. And even worse, it's creatively lazy. That's my verdict.
Boom. All right, we got one last case. What's she be?
Okay, Diane Warren, one of the biggest songwriters in the world, tweeted last week about the new Beyonce album. Everyone's talking about the new Beyonce album. And she said, does it really take 24 people to write a song? There's 24 credits on a song called Alien Superstar on that album. And she got a lot of blowback for it. So the question here for you is, do you yearn for the days of the single singer songwriter, or is 24 credits on a song okay by you?
Honest to God, I couldn't care less. As long as I like the song, who cares who was involved in it?
I think it's a sign of the times, but if you're going to ask me, I'm a Dylan fan. So yeah, I'm firmly in the camp of, give it all to the singer-songwriter.
Well, like everything else, the craft of songwriting has changed over the years. There are lots of great tunes written and recorded by singer-songwriters still, with songwriting credits that do not resemble a Rolodex. But there are many great songs that use samples, and in many cases, the originators of those samples get a credit, and that's why there's 24 credits on Alien Superstar by Beyonce. Sampling is an art form, in the same way that great artists like Man Ray and Andy Warhol looked to outside sources for elements to use in their art, and then they created something unique and interesting with those collage pieces. 24 credits might seem like a lot, but as Diane Warren said in her apology, every collaborator who worked on this record should be celebrated. They should also be paid, and a proper credit also comes with proper compensation, and that's my verdict.
Well done. So you're going to stay and chat with us about a whole bunch of things entertainment after the break, Richard. We thank you for doing that. We thank you for your entertainment court. But we will delve deeper into some of the top entertainment stories coming up next.
What summer festivals are on now? Google helps you find the news that matters most to you. Whether you're looking for news from international publications or your local paper, learn how Google supports news in Canada at g.co/newsincanada.